Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, I'm digging a little deeper here during the break because I still see, I don't even know what to believe about this stuff. I really don't. There are still people, a lot of them, making the case, even now when we know this information about the text message exchange between the roommate and the killer, that this guy was motivated by his right-wing leanings, not his left-wing leanings. So I'm going through the timeline of a guy by the name of David Schuster, who used to be a reporter, I think, at ABC and maybe NBC because he was on MSNBC. I don't think he's there anymore, but he is completely deranged. So I'm going through his timeline because on the 12th, which was, of course, Friday, when all the questions were still out there, they were making the case that this was MAGA, ultra-MAGA. So he retweeted, and this is what I'm disappointed about, Martina Navratilova. And she's kind of been on the right side of this trans issue, you might remember. So she retweets Nancy Mace, congresswoman, who says, "We know Charlie Kirk would want us to pray for such an evil, lost individual like Tyler Robinson to find Jesus Christ. We will try to do the same." Martina Navratilova tweets out, "LOL, so now that the killer is a right winger, we need to pray for him. Got it, Nance, you effing hypocrite." Well, so this is what's getting repeated time and time and time again. Here's the other thing from his timeline. I can get into this here in a second. Apparently, now I'm going to tell you that the right wing does this too. You knew conspiracy theorists would be out there. They think that the FBI, some people, Schuster retweeted some guy, that the FBI wrote that whole thing out about the exchange with the roommate. They're making it up because real people don't use the word interrogated or squad car. That's what they're going to. You can't even make this up. The only thing I'd say about that is I know that there's right-wing kooks, too, but my goodness. Steve Koonin is with us this afternoon. He's a senior fellow at Stanford's Hoover Institute and the author institution, an author of Unsettled, What Climate Science Tells Us and What It Doesn't and Why It Matters. Steve, how are you this afternoon? Sorry, I had to go off a little
bit. Okay, great, Mark. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have touched on this. This is a very important story to me, and you know we've talked before about the climate, but there's this Energy Department report that came out a few weeks ago. I know you highlighted it either in the Wall Street Journal. I think it was the Wall Street Journal. I've talked about it a couple of times, but this is the first time that we have had a report from Washington, maybe in decades, that goes and strays from the narrative of climate catastrophe, right? And were you a part of this report? Did you take part in this?
Yes, I was one of five co-authors of the report.
So what did this report say, and why is it so different than some of the narrative that we heard before?
Well, the Energy Secretary, Chris Wright, understands climate science very well. And he also understood that there's a big disconnect between what the public is hearing and what the science actually says. And so he commissioned the five of us, all expert working scientists, to try to expose some of those disconnects with, of course, appropriate references to tell people, you know, things are not really what you've been hearing from most of the media.
One of them is interesting, and I've had for many years Dr. Roy Spencer on my show, and he told us last week he's involved in some sort of lawsuit, which is, you know, preventing him from speaking on some of these topics, which is concerning to me. But one of the things that they find is elevated carbon dioxide levels enhance plant growth, contributing to global greening and increased agricultural productivity. That is factual. You know that, Steve. That's something that never, ever gets mentioned in this whole dispute about climate. Let's say you believe that all of our SUVs and, you know, our behavior here in America and China, India, we're causing all this warming. Maybe we are causing some of it. But even if you do believe that, you have to at least admit, don't you, that some of the CO2 is good for parts of the world?
Yes, you know, CO2 is not the entirely evil thing that it's been made out to be. You remember that in greenhouses, we enhance the level of carbon dioxide up to about three or four times what it is in natural environment to make the plants grow better.
I always go back, Steve, maybe I've mentioned this with you before, but there was a guy who, and I researched this, or I kind of went back and looked at this recently in 2014, and he was from the University of California, Berkeley, and he was certainly no conservative, and he even admitted that he was someone who once did not believe that we were responsible for warming, but he was then in the camp that humans were causing most of the warming. But he wrote a piece in the New York Times, you might remember this, about tornadoes. And he was honest about the fact that there were not more tornadoes because of climate change. In fact, you can maybe even make a case that there are fewer intense tornadoes. We have more houses in places where we didn't have them in the 1940s and 50s. So there might be more damage from hurricanes that touched down back then, you know, where you didn't have houses. But you point out in this report that there's no evidence about more frequent tornadoes or intense hurricanes or floods and all this stuff.
Right. So the guy you're referring to is probably Rich Mueller, who's a professor.
Yep, that's exactly
emeritus
him.
At Berkeley. He's a good friend and a fine scientist. And he's right. When you look at the historical record over long enough times, you don't see any changes in hurricanes, floods, dryness, and so on. Yes, there are ups and downs, and there are differences from one region to another, but overall, things just haven't changed very much at all, even as human influences on the climate have grown.
Steve, we've had people in our military that have declared that the number one threat to this country and to the planet is climate change and global warming.
That was certainly a theme of the Biden administration, and I think the military, by nature, follows the commander in chief. But that doesn't mean they're right. And to me, it's a great disappointment that we squander our military attention and funds on things that are just not a threat and ignore much greater threats.
So I'm always one, you know, I'm not an expert on this stuff like you, or I mentioned Dr. Spencer. I've always described myself as a lukewarmer because I don't deny that there's, you know, change to the climate that's occurred. There's been some warming. But my question is how much, two-part question, I think you might have this, how much are we actually to blame? And then the second part I think is even more important. What can we realistically do about it outside of all living in 300-square-foot homes, right? Because that's when you really look at the extreme nature of the climate alarmists, in order to fix this, you'd have to change everybody's lifestyle on the planet. And then they never talk about the poor people who are in different countries who may want some air conditioning or heat, who do not have, you know, the ability to get that. So I find that fascinating as well, Steve.
Yeah, I would say of the warming, we're probably responsible for about half.
Yeah,
maybe a bit more, but the number is really uncertain, and it could be as much as 100%. In terms of other weather phenomena, which are much more impactful than the warming, if you don't see a trend, you can't say it's due to human influences. So I think we've got to wait and see whether something actually emerges.
What?
As to what we can do, I wrote already a decade ago that the only realistic thing to do is to adapt.
Yes.
And we're very good at that.
Yeah.
Humanity has prospered, even though the globe has warmed about 1.3 degrees over the last century. And so we should adapt. If you really want to do some missions, you know, let's develop the technologies and take our time and not break everything else in some foolish quest.
So what happens from here on with this report? Obviously, there's been a lot of criticism. A lot of the, you know, the climate alarmists don't believe you. It's just a Trump derangement syndrome thing, I think, on their part. They don't want to look at a different side of the equation here at all. So what happens next with this?
Yeah, well, you know, the National Academies just today released their own report, which is quite at variance with what we wrote. And I think some body, whether it's Congress or one of the executive agencies, has got to get everybody in a room together and stop us talking past one another and really hash out what the science is and what it isn't. Meanwhile, the EPA, as you probably know, is moving ahead to try to eliminate the so-called endangerment finding, which is the regulation of carbon dioxide emissions. That may well hinge on legal issues rather than scientific issues, but we've got to get the science accurately portrayed no matter what.
Well, one of the things that you do in here is you removed in this report the words existential crisis emergency. That used to be in a lot of the reports about climate change. You know, I kind of reference what the military has even said, but that you've kind of removed a lot of that language in this report, correct?
Yes. When you look at the real science, the economic projections, it's a couple percent impact on the GDP for a couple of degrees of warming. It's really in the noise, as we physicists say.
So I'm happy that there's a different perspective being discussed here. And to your point, why not have, you know, this kind of goes back to some of my thoughts about COVID in the early days of COVID. There seemingly was just one narrative that was coming out of the White House. We had Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, and Marty McCary, who's now in the administration now, was out there, and I would have him on saying, hey, wait, we there's physicians out here that have different opinions. The same thing is true with this climate stuff. It's just that this where we go to the media. The LA Times and some of these other publications have deemed your opinion, even if it's a little contrary, you've even admitted that we're causing some of the warming. Maybe we're causing all the warming. But anything that goes contrary to the climate alarmist narrative, that's verboten in the media.
Yeah. You know, I think a well-structured national commission, as we've used in the past to resolve controversial technical issues like the Challenger disaster or the JFK assassination, with equal representation from people of both minds, all laid out in public, I think would be a valuable contribution to this story.
Absolutely. Steve Coonan, always great to have you on. I appreciate the work on this particular topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wanted to go, you know, I always like this because I, and now I got to do this in a way where I have to use Safari. Just bear with me here because I put something in a Google search and it didn't work for me because then it's asking me to sign into the New York Times. So just give me a second here to type in some stuff because I think it's important. And he mentioned Richard Mueller. I had him on the air with me. And this was, if you were listening earlier this afternoon, I asked Fred about some audio because I used to have this soundbite in there from Richard Mueller. And I always found this interesting. And every time I see, you know, a big hurricane or when we had the Springfield tornado, you get the numbskulls, almost call them something else at the Post-Dispatch, writing about climate change, etc. But this is a guy in Richard Mueller who is a professor still at UC Berkeley, who is he's not a denier. He believes that we are the driving force in, you know, changing the climate. But this is how he wrote this piece, and this has not changed in 10 years. It was actually November of 2013. Does global warming weaken tornadoes? Yes, you read that correctly. Despite the recent spate of deadly twisters, including those that tore through the Midwest over the weekend, the scientific evidence shows that strong to violent tornadoes have actually been decreasing for the past 58 years. And it is possible that the explanation lies with global warming. You don't hear this much discussed, do you? He even says this is certainly not the popular impression. He goes through some, you know, alarmist stuff like Senator Barbara Boxer. Remember her? This is climate change. You're going to have terrible storms. You're going to have tornadoes. You had Michael Mann, who's the prominent alarmist out there, saying if you're a betting person or the insurance or reinsurance industry, you'd probably go with a prediction of greater frequency and intensity of tornadoes as a result of human-caused climate change. But Dr. Mueller said the evidence shows the opposite. And he says, I'm not talking about global warming per se, which I am convinced is real and caused by man-made emissions, but not everything attributed to global warming has scientific basis. And he goes into some of the the details and some of the history, and even cites NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, because they have a chart that kind of tracks the tornadoes recorded from 1950 to 2011. And he admits that, you know, at first glance, it looks rather dramatic. The number of tornadoes in 1950 was only 200. By 2011, it had shot up to 1,700. But 200, that's ridiculously small, right? If it had truly been that low in the past, The Wizard of Oz would have never been written. And indeed, NOAA accounts for those early small numbers by explaining that originally only the most violent tornadoes were recorded, leading to lower reported totals. By contrast, these days, even little storms are logged. Backyard dust devils are reported for insurance claims. Doppler radar makes it hard for any tornado to escape notice. So he really meticulously spells out the science here. And it's interesting from a guy, I remember interviewing him, because one of the things that he told me, and this was the soundbite that I think I lost, was, let's say that we turned off this country completely. We got a switch. Let's say President Trump has a switch. We're going to shut it all down. Of course, we can't do that. But let's say we're going to shut down the United States because we have too many carbon emissions, right? Too many cows farting out there. Within a year, maybe 2 years, if we did that, but probably a year, the CO2 level would be exactly the same as it is right now. And that's because of China and India. And that's what they don't tell you. So we could do all these things. We can make all these sacrifices. You can force people to have EVs that can't charge, you know, properly, all this stuff. It's not going to do a bit of good. That's why I have, for decades, ever since Al Gore started spreading all this nonsense, and I heard this from Steve Koonin, adaptation. If we think this is going to happen, and there's certain aspects of climate change that will affect our lifestyle, our way of life, our oceans, our beaches, right? We'll figure out a way to adapt, right? And I've always said this too. Look, in the end, if we lose California, was it that great of a loss? Vegas will be beachfront property.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before I get to Josh Krasauer here, who's my next guest, this I'm just going to tell you, I was searching on David Schuster's Twitter feed. David Schuster used to be a reporter. I remember watching his reports on the Today Show back when I was loyal to the Today Show, probably 2 decades ago, right? So I think he does independent, so-called independent journalism. And he retweets someone up there, and this is new, so maybe some of you have heard this conspiracy, but she writes, "I see the FBI has taken to writing fan fiction. Young gay men talk to one another like this. Half of it is cop speak," quote, interrogated, unquote. Squad car, retrieve it, swept that spot? And why does he address multiple loose ends in a convo with his significant other unprompted after expressing that he did not want him involved? You're not good at this. She's telling the FBI, you're not good at this. And she posts the screen capture of the exchange, the text message exchange, which they revealed. And I guess she underlines, to be honest, I'd hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. That's a red flag. Apparently, that's something that indicates that there's a conspiracy. He says, because the roommate says, I thought they caught the person. Robinson says, no, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing. That's a problem because he used the word interrogated. Is he supposed to use the word questioned? I mean, I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop point. Well, that sounds like something that someone has experience with weapons and is planning to assassinate someone might use, right? And I guess the notion, and this is a guy who used to be a trusted reporter with NBC News. He's also the guy that on Friday and continued into the weekend, and this is a continuous theme for a lot of these left-wingers, including a lot of the left-wing media folks, they still are out there saying, and Jimmy Kimmel did it last night, this is right-wing violence that we're looking at here. This guy was way to the right of MAGA. He killed, and he did this assassination because he didn't think that Charlie Kirk was conservative enough. He wasn't vocal enough. I mean, the whole narrative, the whole spin on that, first of all, it doesn't pass the smell test for 1 second, but they continue to spread the nonsense. It's really staggering. We'll get Josh Krasauer's impression of that coming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up. Audio cut of the day before the hour is up. Josh Krasauer is back with us. 97.1 FM Talk political insider. He's the editor-in-chief of the Jewish Insider. You see him on Fox all the time. You hear him on Fox News Radio. Josh, crazy, crazy times that we're living in. Good Lord. You and I have talked about a lot of big stories over the years, but we're still having an argument in the legacy media over which side, left or right, this kid was motivated by. I mean, I just pulled up David Schuster's account. It used to be at NBC. And he's retweeting conspiracy theories that the FBI manufactured and wrote the script yesterday with that text exchange. Now, Josh, you know me. I know that the right does this as well with goofy conspiracy stuff, but I feel like I'm living in an alternative universe.
Yeah, we're in some pretty bad times because if you can't agree on what are widely accepted facts that were presented by the Utah prosecutors yesterday from the text messages that the suspect himself wrote to his roommate. texted saying he was furious and full of, you know, he wanted to, you know, go after Charlie Kirk because of hate. You know, he thought he was hateful. That is as, you know, crystal clear a motivation as you could possibly find, and yet you see all these contortions of people, and a lot of people who should know better in the media, in who are influencers on social media, who are, you know, people who are well educated and should know better are trafficking in lies. And you see, this is to me, we were talking about this on the Fox panel last night. I see this as much, it's not a left-right issue, because you see, as you mentioned, Mark, the same issues among right-wing social media influencers and the kind of misinformation that's going out there. I mean, it's a consequence of social media itself, and you have these companies that are incentivizing, you know, the worst, most extremist hot takes and bad information, and it's crowding out the good. And that's how companies like Meta and X and TikTok, that's how they're profiting. They're profiting, yeah, on pitching extremism and lies to all sides, and they're dividing America. And by the way, Mark, this is something, you know, I think we see the consequence of this in real time, but, you know, it's not just you know, social media influencers on the extremes. It's China. It's Russia. I mean, for God's sakes, we have a China-owned platform in TikTok that is deliberately skewing its algorithm for anti-American, hateful, anti-Semitic content to push to the youngest Americans out there. So it's no coincidence when you look at the public opinion data showing how radicalize so many of these Gen Zers become. So, I mean, to me, this is a real, like, civilizational crisis that a lot of people are now recognizing, but no one really wants to do anything about.
Are you surprised by this? Some of this is really brazen and ugly. Like, George Conway has been all over this from the beginning with no regrets whatsoever about expressing essentially glee over Charlie Kirk's assassination. I mean, there are a lot of people out there, and I mentioned Jimmy Kimmel. You know, he goes on and he tries to spread this stuff last night, and everyone wants to blame President Trump. So I guess I shouldn't be shocked in the climate that we live in. Somebody, I'm on David Schuster's site right now because I was looking at some of the responses. And somebody said, because, you know, you want to try to compare this to something that happened in the past with other people. And I'm trying to find the tweet here. But they used Trayvon Martin as an example, basically saying, you know, if you had conservatives were cheering for the death of Trayvon Martin. Now, I don't think that was happening at all. They were trying to say that that whole shooting scenario was very different than the way it was being explained in the media. But the amount of people that are in high profile positions that are jumping on this, you know, this kid was to the right of MAGA bandwagon is quite stunning to me. Martina Navratilova, I saw one of her tweets. So this is a mainstream narrative that's really gotten out there, and they're not letting go of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most disturbing. When you realize this is having a real-life impact, it's not when you have some random social media people that no one's ever heard of posting these things. It's when you have established, well-regarded professors, newsmakers, reporters that are actually, you know, becoming radicalized, really, in real time on social media. You mentioned a few of the names out there. These are pretty respected people who have just, like, lost themselves. And it shows you, I mean, look, I think there's a just a basic standards problem. Like, these people should not be, the institutions that they work for should be having some kind of standards. But I also think you're seeing some of these folks radicalized in real time. And also, the incentive structure is totally broken. You're seeing so many people in the mainstream media, what's left of it, not being able to have enough funds, frankly, to hire people who are going to be objective, call balls and strikes, get the facts. And the incentives are for people to leave these platforms and start their own Substack or start their own, you know, yeah, influencer, yeah, platform. And how do you make money? How do you make revenue? How do you profit from that? It doesn't matter if you're not telling the truth. It's just riling up the base, riling up people who don't care about whether things are right or wrong or whether it's true or false. So I think we're in a big world of hurt. We're seeing, like, things slowly and slowly get a boil, starting to get worse and worse and worse. And what's most worrisome is what we saw with the Charlie Kirk assassination, because you're seeing an increasing number of people, you know, and this is very much been scrutinized on the left, but you're also seeing this in polling among right-wingers too, a tolerance for political violence, a tolerance for riots, a tolerance for this hate that's online. And a lot of times it's remained online, but we're starting to see in the last, you know, with Charlie Kirk most prominently, but really in the last few years, things that are extremist online content translated into the real world in really, really violent and awful consequences.
How much credit would you give Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk for Trump's win last year? Because obviously he's given a lot of credit, and you know there was a strong undercurrent with younger people, and he has to get a lot of the credit, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think one of the big surprises from the 2024 election results was how well Donald Trump did with Gen Z men, especially. And that was not picked up as much as it should have been in the polling, but it really was demonstrated in the results and what you see on campuses, frankly, where Charlie Kirk's grassroots energy, I mean, the fact that he just had the phrase happy warrior is one that's been around politics, you know, for a long time. But really, you know, whatever you thought of Charlie Kirk's views, he wanted to engage. He wanted to debate. He had a smile on his face. He had his deep-held beliefs, and he debated with a lot of people who disagreed with him. And that was what made him so distinctive. And I think it really propelled the success of Turning Point. There are a lot of conservative campus organizations out there. Turning Point really did take off in large part because of Charlie Kirk. And look, the fact that Gen Z men, you know, against all odds, voted, or against all expectations, I should say, voted for Donald Trump, supported Trump over Kamala Harris, tells you a whole lot. There are a lot of other reasons for it, but Charlie Kirk certainly one major factor.
So, what you know, because everybody, and we did this last year with Trump and the assassination, everyone always says, this is bigger, this seems different, this seems like a, you know, a bigger moment. Maybe it does. You know, we're still fresh into it. It was a week ago today when all this was sort of unfolding and we were finding out some of the facts. But how does it manifest itself into the midterms, for example, and into the future? I mean, I know, Josh, that's impossible to know right now, but any theories on that?
Well, look, I think one of the worries, I mean, we've talked about this before. When you're the party in power, you're usually going to lose some seats in the House, in the Senate. It's usually going to be, you know, an expectation that Republicans may lose the House because of the narrow majority. That said, I think the worry in Democratic circles about the rise of the extreme left, the fact that there could be primaries where you have extreme type candidates, left wing candidates emerging in key races. Democrats are trying to do everything that they can to avoid that possibility, but the Zohran Mamdani factor, and I mean the fact that someone like that could win a nomination in one of the biggest city in the country, and you're seeing other kind of imitators in key races for both the Senate and Susan Collins's race, for instance. There's a very left wing Democrat that's getting a lot of online attention, has a whole lot of radical positions. We'll see if he's the nominee, but that's a big warning sign for Democrats. And there are a lot of House races where you have these types of candidates that are emerging. So, I mean, look, I think there's a lot of worry in Democratic circles that they have the fundamentals perhaps on their side just because people are running against Trump and his numbers are down a little bit. But the candidates, if the energy in the party is with the AOC wing, with the Mamdani wing, and you have some really extreme candidates that emerge, and I think there will be, that could cost them some crucial seats in key battlegrounds.
Let me shift gears just a little bit here and ask you about Pam Bondi, because you have a lot of people that are upset on the MAGA side because of the Epstein files situation. And then, I seriously take issue with this nonsense that she said a few days ago about going after people for the social media post, because I think that was wrong. And I don't think that's what she said in that moment sounded like someone who would be a Democrat attorney general, not a Republican. So I don't know, Pam Bondi not endearing herself maybe to both sides. Could she potentially be in trouble as attorney general?
No, and Trump views her very favorably. I don't think her comments bothered him at all, even though she did do a little cleanup after the fact. And look, I think it's maybe uncomfortable to say, but there are a lot of folks in that top level of the Trump orbit that have said similar things about going after, you know, private charities that have left-wing views for their speech. J.D. Vance said that. Stephen Miller said that in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination. I think Bondi was just an extension of a lot of these, frankly, very abusive government. Conservatives usually want less government. We don't want to hear more government being involved. And we're hearing a lot. We've seen, frankly, in the first year of the Trump administration, second term, a very expansive use of government power. So I didn't hear Donald Trump really criticizing Pam Bondi or even pushing her to walk things back. Obviously, and I think it's encouraging that you saw a lot of voices from across the Republican spectrum speaking out and perhaps pushing her to do so herself. But that is look, it's not just speech issues, it's tariffs, and there are obviously court cases down the pike about whether Trump has a right to impose these very punitive tariffs against our allies. And there's a lot of obviously the issue about campuses and how much power the executive branch has in terms of just dictating to private institutions what can be done with I mean, these are debatable issues, right?
Yep.
But that is where this is coming from, and the fact that you can say that free speech, you're going to crack down on free speech or crack down on hate speech, I should say, that someone would feel like that's not a problem to say that is the waters in which this administration is swimming in.
Josh Krossauer, awesome to hook up with you. It's been just a little bit. I think we can close in a way that can bring us both together in a very sad way. We both cannot wait until baseball season is over because both our teams suck.
Wait till next year. It's been a tough year. You guys were at least kind of on the outskirts of the wild card race. We were out of it
for a while. Long ago. Josh is a Nats fan, but dude, it's gotten pretty bad here, you know, with the fans not showing up. And I'm going to the game, I think, on Sunday, but I've only been to like two games the entire year, which is very rare. And a lot of fans can say that. I mean, some of it has to do with the team. Some of it has to do with some violence that we have with issues downtown. But yeah, I'm ready to move on. And you say next year for the Cardinals, it might be like 2028 when the next presidential race is happening. We might be competitive. We'll see. Josh, awesome to have you on. Have a great week.
Thanks,
all right,
Mark.
We'll see you. Stand by. Playback
ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I have some huge breaking news this afternoon, and it has to do with this guy who I think is married to a St. Louis woman, Jimmy Kimmel.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
ABC Disney has pulled Jimmy Kimmel's show indefinitely off the air because of his nonsense that he said on his show. Good. I hope he never comes back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.